from December of 92, I began living with a man and playing in the big leagues at the same time. And anytime you can't live the truth, it starts to wear on you. All I was trying to do was find a sense of happiness away from the field.
Don't you think there's a chance that America might embrace him?
Not as long as fathers are taking their sons to the ballpark.
I joined the Air Force when I was 18. I actually wanted to travel and try to see what, you know, my options were in life.
Yeah, I believed all that hype too, all that stuff about be all you can be. I was being all I could be. And they kicked me out for it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. There's progress for queer partners in Spain and Australia. An ex-ball player steps up to the plate with coming out controversy, and a lesbian comedian laughs last at military intelligence. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 10th, 2003. In Spain, the Basque Parliament this week approved a bill to extend all marital rights to unmarried couples, including gay and lesbian couples. The Basque country becomes the fourth region in Spain to legally recognize unmarried partners, following Andalusia, Catalonia, and Navarra. Agence France-Presse reported that the Basque measure will allow same-gender couples to adopt children.
Gay and lesbian couples would also be able to adopt children in the Australian Capital Territory under legislation the territory's Australian Labor Party government introduced in the ACT Parliament this week. Chief Minister John Stanhope called the current law's explicit restriction of adoption to heterosexual couples discriminatory. The bill would also allow gay and lesbian co-parents to co-adopt their partners' children.
West Australia is the only Australian state so far to open adoptions to same-gender couples, although an adoption bill introduced by Tasmania's ALP state government is currently under consideration in the parliament there. The Tasmanian bill has proved highly controversial, but the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group noted that two candidates for the state's upper house, who specifically campaigned against the bill, fared poorly in this week's elections.
The Australian Labor Party government of the state of New South Wales this week introduced a bill to reduce the age of consent for sex between men to match that for heterosexual and lesbian acts. Currently in NSW, two males must be at least 18 years old to have legally consensual sex, while the age for all others is 16. In Australia, only NSW and the Northern Territory still have higher ages of consent for sex between men, although Queensland has a higher age of consent for anal intercourse regardless of gender. NSW's last attempt at equalization, a private member's bill, failed by a one-vote margin in the state's upper house in 1999. Equalization is no sure thing this time, either. The ruling ALP and the opposition Liberals will be free to vote their consciences, while the state's smaller National Party has already vowed to stand as a bloc against it. Christian Democratic upper house member Gordon Moyes would prefer to achieve equalization by raising the age of consent for other acts to 18.
Britain's Labour government this week introduced its bill to prohibit employment discrimination and workplace harassment against gays and lesbians. It's the latest move to bring British law into compliance with European law. The government claims that despite initial costs to employers, business will experience substantial continuing benefits as a result of hiring the best available candidates. Despite intense lobbying by gay and lesbian activists, religious groups will be exempted from offering equal employment opportunity to gays and lesbians and will be free to fire employees who fail to conform to their group's religious ethos. The same bill will also extend employment discrimination protections to Muslims.
Back on the family front, a member of Namibia's National Council this week dared to propose the addition of gay and lesbian couples to a bill to combat domestic violence. Namibia's ruling SWAPO party has been vocally homophobic in recent years, and some of its members tried to shout down Councillor Fukunani Dudu Mururoa of the opposition DTA-UDF coalition as he offered his amendment. Mururoa said, whether we like it or not, many Namibians of the same sex are involved in romantic relationships with each other, and there are acts of violence among these couples as well. SWAPO counselor Noah Tuhadeleni declared, any life or love without the opposite sex is immoral or dead.
There was outright violence this week in the parliament building of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, where the deputy speaker was beaten by some opposition members after he refused to apologize for publicly describing their faction's politicians as having a non-traditional sexual orientation. Deputy Speaker and Socialist Party leader Vakhtang Rishilvili received head injuries, while one of his United Democrats attackers emerged with an injured hand. Both required hospital treatment. The Prosecutor General's office is investigating the incident, some of which was videotaped.
The outing of the chief minister of the Pakistani state of Sindh is expected to end his political career, although the news was blacked out within the state. Ali Mohammed Maher was described as a homosexual and occasional cross-dresser in an expose published in Pakistan's Friday Times at the end of April. The U.S.-based South Asia Tribune attributed the outing to a power struggle between two leaders of Pakistan's spy agency, Inter-Services Intelligence. Islamic law holds sway in Pakistan, although its prescription of the death penalty for homosexuality is not known to have been enforced there.
But open gays continue to win elected office in the United States. In local elections this week, three of four candidates supported by the Political Action Committee Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund were winners. Two of those were incumbents re-elected to the Dallas, Texas City Council, John Loza and Ed Oakley, while three other openly gay candidates failed in three other Dallas districts.
The other Victory Fund winner was Paul Smedberg, who beat out a dozen others for a city council seat to become the first ever openly gay elected official in Alexandria and only the second in the state of Virginia.
The Victory Fund loser was Paul Rosenthal, who came in second in a three-way race for a seat on the Denver, Colorado City Council, which has never had an openly gay or lesbian member.
In another recent election, Craig Lowe became the first open gay or lesbian to win a seat on the Gainesville, Florida City Commission.
And an Italian court recently made an open gay the mayor of the Sicilian town of Gela. Rosario Crocetta appeared to have lost an election held a year ago, but his legal challenge of the vote prevailed in a March ruling.
Imagining sex between clones of former Soviet leaders Joseph Stalin and Nikita Khrushchev will not lead to a prison term for one of Russia's most admired postmodern novelists. Vladimir Sorokin's troubles began last June when a morality group associated with President Vladimir Putin called Moving Together or Walking Together brought criminal pornography charges against his satirical 1999 novel Goloboy Salo. That translates as sky blue bacon fat or light blue lard, light blue also being a Russian slang term for gay. Moscow prosecutors thought the criminal charge was well-founded and pursued an investigation despite criticism from the Russian government. Police raided the publisher, Ad Marginem, and seized copies of the book and documents relating to it. Sorokin refused to answer when questioned by police and filed a lawsuit against the Moving Together group. The international literary community rose up in alarm at the prospect of renewed censorship in Russia, and in solidarity, the Committee for Russia's Booker Prize nominated a later Sorokin work they actually didn't like much. But finally, in late April, Moscow prosecutors announced they were dropping the charges, having decided that no crime had been committed, based on three analyses by what they called literary and sexological experts, most of whom did not find the work pornographic. As so often happens in these cases, the attack on the book served to boost its sales as much as eightfold, as well as those of Sorokin's more recent work.
And finally, more than 15,000 people turned out this week for the 8th annual Belgian Gay Pride Festival in Brussels. Despite winning full equal marriage rights and anti-discrimination protections this year, the official Belgian Pride slogan was, "We want more." Politically, that would mean being able to marry a foreigner from a country that doesn't recognize same-gender partnerships and being able to adopt children. But in parts of Belgium, just being out remains an issue. One woman at the Pride Fest was costumed as a police officer. That's not so unusual in itself, but she explained to a reporter that she really is a police officer, one who could never let her lesbian orientation be known in the little village where she works.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 10th, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
It sure wasn't funny at the time, but a lesbian comedian has turned her Air Force discharge into a stand-up success. Laughter is in order, later in the program.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Baseball legend Ted Williams was fond of saying that hitting a ball with a bat is the hardest thing to do in any sport. Judging from the latest controversy involving anti-gay comments in baseball by Colorado Rockies relief pitcher Todd Jones, coming out of the closet as a pro ball player might be even harder. Even though the U.S. national pastime was once a leader in racial integration, over 50 years later, there's still no openly gay player in the major leagues. One player who's come out of retirement to play in the outfield is Billy Bean, and now he's the author with Chris Bull of Going the Other Way, Lessons from a Life in and Out of Major League Baseball. This Way Out's Steve Pride tossed some verbal pitches to a game Billy Bean.
Billy Bean is all-American handsome. With a winning smile and earnest demeanor, he evokes apple pie and the 4th of July. When he speaks, he looks you directly in the eyes. A former professional baseball player, Bean's sunny openness was for years at odds with his closely held secrets.
My name is Billy Bean. I was a Major League Baseball player from 1986 to 1995. I started with the Detroit Tigers. I played for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. And I am gay. I met my ex-wife in college, and I got married immediately into my professional career. I signed as a 22-year-old, but it wasn't until I was about 26 or 27 that I started to really get the feelings that started to surface about my sexuality. And about 3 years into my marriage, I started to explore that when I was traveling around on the road, and that's when the secrecy really started. I think I carried in my body for a long time that secret, but I had never acted out on it. I never had a mutual sexual encounter or relationship with anybody from the same sex. So in my mind, I was a straight man. Finally, I couldn't do it any longer. And after 3 years of marriage, I was in the off season of 1992, and I was living on the East Coast in Rockville, Maryland. And I met Sam, who would become my first partner. I fell in love, and I knew from really after the first time we were together that my marriage was not going to work out. And that was the beginning of a long process of separation and divorce. From that point on, really from the December of 92, I began living with a man and playing in the big leagues at the same time. And that was really the hardest obstacle to get through, to try to perpetuate with no friends. My parents, nobody knew. My ex-wife didn't know. Not only was it difficult, but I really began to beat myself up emotionally, because anytime you can't live the truth, it starts to wear on you that you're doing something wrong. And I don't believe that being a gay man is anything wrong. I think that's my biology. And all I was trying to do was find a sense of happiness away from the field.
But the secrecy eventually wore Billy down, and it began to affect the game.
When I first found my partner, Sam, ironically, I had tremendous success. And I think a lot of the pressure that I had inflicted upon myself because I wasn't truly content or happy, he helped relieve that pressure. But after that newness wore off, the daily grind of coming home and, you know, him staying in the house and telling my friends I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, and them wondering why. Basically, it turned me kind of into a loner on the team, which is an uncomfortable situation to be in.
And it was a situation that left Billy Bean without anyone to turn to in a time of adversity.
In 1995, 2 days before the season was going to start, I felt like I had the whole world. You know, I was really coming into my own. I was really in love, and I had a really supportive partner. We were living a secret life, but we were starting to get the routine down, and he understood it. But I came home, and he was semi-unconscious on the bed, and I rushed him to the emergency room, and basically his pancreas gave up on him, and the toxins of the pancreas poisoned him from the inside out, and it took about 5 hours, and he died right in front of me. I just was not prepared for that kind of thing to happen for me. He was my world outside of my baseball, and I had not shared our relationship with anybody. So when he was gone, a whole part of me was gone. And he died about 7 a.m. in the morning, and I had a 1 o'clock game in Anaheim. And I didn't know what to do. I was completely confused. I couldn't call my parents.
That afternoon, Billy Beane did what Billy Beane had always done. He kept his secret, and he played baseball.
I just think I lost a lot of myself that day, and I regret that choice more than just about anything in my life. The idea that my relationship didn't matter enough to even take a day off from work, a stupid game, you know? And I think I trained myself to think like that, and that was because I was closed off from the world. Coming out doesn't mean you have to have a press conference in front of the world. You can come out to your mom. You know, you can have one person who's there for you, or your brother. I could have used anybody at that time in my life, and I don't know how I did it or why I did it. It doesn't make sense now. It seems so silly, but I wanted to be a ball player. I was living my professional dream, but then I learned that without a sense of self and there's an emotional hole in your heart, I hated my career. I could care less. And it taught me that love really is the greatest gift and the most important thing that you can ever find, and you should respect it and cherish it.
Last July, Billy Beane appeared as himself in an episode of the HBO sports comedy, Arliss.
So tell me, what position does this guy play? Outfielder?
Billy, this is serious.
Tell me about it.
No, you tell me about it. You've been there.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, but I don't think he can come out. This guy's life will be under a microscope tomorrow. And no matter how much progress we think this country's had, there's a lot of people out there who are going to want him to fail.
Don't you think there's a chance that America might embrace him?
Not as long as fathers are taking their sons to the ballpark. They don't want to hear, "Daddy, I want to grow up and be just like him."
This isn't what I was hoping to hear.
The Arliss appearance created an uproar in the gay community.
You know, you can't please everybody. Arliss was the hero, and they used me as the only open player for advice. And the advice was to protect his career, should he or shouldn't he? If they would have asked the question, if this man wants to help change the world, will you stand behind him if he comes out tomorrow? And the answer would have been emphatically, yes, yes, yes. But, you know, from a common sense perspective, if each individual gay or lesbian person in this country or around the world had an opportunity and was living their lifelong dream professionally, I think the rest of the gay community should be supportive in that person's choice. And I think we should demand change without putting the pressure or the onus on a player, because there's so much at stake and every life matters. Everyone's journey is the same importance. So let's make the players who are in the closet, let's start to make them know that we're fighting for them, even though we don't know who they are. And then as we create a safer atmosphere, we're going to have those players come forward.
After years of living in the closet, Billy Beane came out publicly in 1999. Now he is sharing his entire life story in a new book called Going the Other Way, Lessons from a Life in and Out of Major League Baseball.
The book has been, for me, such a therapeutic experience after holding all this in for so long. It really started as a letter to my mom and dad, because I always wanted them to know everything, but it was always so uncomfortable to talk about like the real stuff. And for me, I feel like it's a responsibility that has been created. And I feel like however long this time is, my goal is really to just try to make baseball a better place. The idea that I believe so strongly is that sports breaks down barriers. You know, when five guys walk on a basketball court against five other guys, it doesn't matter what your color is, what your religion is, how much money you make, and it shouldn't matter if you're gay or not.
Although Billy Beane has retired from baseball, he continues to hit home runs. His book, written with Chris Bull, is called Going the Other Way, Lessons from a Life in and Out of Major League Baseball. For more information, point your internet browser to billybeane.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
A great slugger we haven't got. A great pitcher we haven't got. A great ball club we haven't got. What do we got? Heart. All you really need is heart. idea. We've got heart.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho.
Hello, this is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm comedian Bob Smith.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
Hi, I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, I'm Scott Thompson.
Hi, I'm David Sedaris.
Hi, this is Jeff Straker.
Hi, this is Chastity Bono, and you're listening to
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Comedy connoisseurs in a growing number of cities are discovering Vicki Wagner, a lesbian U.S. Air Force vet who uses her experiences in the military in her stand-up. This Way Out's Rita Gonzalez was able to stop laughing long enough to chat with Wagner about her work.
You are Vicki Wagner, who is a comedian here in Los Angeles, and not just Los Angeles, you appear everywhere, don't you?
I do. I thought I was Rita Gonzalez.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
Well, since you're not Rita Gonzalez and you're Vicki Wagner, tell us a little bit about you.
My parents were in a motorcycle gang when I was growing up.
I read that in your bio. And then they send you to a parochial school. So
Right. They did. The name of their motorcycle group was the Devil's Disciple, and my dad was actually the president of it for 2 years. So I grew up with the stereotypical big, hairy, burly guys, tattoos all over the place. They weren't shaving their heads back then, but I'm sure if it was now, they would be. But, you know, just that whole live to die to live, that's the environment that I grew up in. I'm actually from Chicago. I've been in the military, the Air Force. I went to television school out in Phoenix, Arizona. I've worked in 2 television stations.
Now, you're a comedian.
Right.
You're a very out lesbian.
Very.
How's that helped your career, or has it helped your career?
When I first started being a comedian, I kind of was like, oh, I don't want to do the gay thing. You know, I don't want to be labeled as the gay comedian. And I actually had taken a workshop with Judy Carter, and she said, look, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of comedians, and you really got to set yourself aside. So if you do the lesbian thing, then you're already set aside. So I thought about it for a long time, and I was like, okay, I guess she's right. I mean, there is a lot of funny things about being a lesbian.
Is your comedy basically geared towards being a lesbian?
You know what, Rita? I'm going to tell you something. I barely ever perform in front of gay audiences. I perform almost solely in front of straight audiences.
As a lesbian.
Right. I kind of ease into the lesbian thing. I mean, I'm not the stereotypical idea of what straight people think a lesbian looks like, so I surprise them.
You did say you were in the military, so can you give us a little background on that?
Oh, sure. I joined the Air Force when I was 18. I actually wanted to travel and try to see what, you know, my options were in life before going right into college. I thought, what if I go to college and take a career that I hate? I kind of wanted to try to get to know myself a little bit better. So I actually joined the Air Force. I was 18. I got a job which is called a command post controller. The command post is the group that has control over everything, like in a time of war. All the generals come into this big room and we...
Is that with the red phone?
Yeah.
Okay, then I know what it is.
It's with the red phones, okay. And we generate all the nuclear weapons up to alert status. We're like the coordinators of the war.
Were you out?
No. When I enlisted into the military, I had a boyfriend. And shortly before I went in the military, I actually had met a girl and, you know, was like, oh, what's this all about? You know what I mean? She was gay. And I, at the time, thought, oh, I must be bisexual. So I went into the Air Force. I got a top secret clearance. You had to have a top secret clearance for that job.
I imagine for the red button and the red telephone.
Right. Well, I didn't actually push the red button, but I mean, I was in the room where it all happens. I went to, you know, school and training and all that. And the girl who I had met before I went to the military came out for a visit, and somebody saw me kissing her and felt that it was her obligation to turn us in. And they started investigating me for being gay. I got my clearance taken away from me, and I got taken out of my job. I got investigated for 9 months. I got harassed. I had to go talk to what's called the OSI, that's the Office of Special Investigations. I actually lost all of the friends I had on the base because nobody wanted to be seen around the gay girl, or, you know, I would walk by and people would like look and whisper and stuff like that. So it got to be really, really hard for me.
Did you ever hear some of the stupid reasons that people give for joining the military? Oh, I want to travel to far off exotic locations and explore the world. I wanted to travel. What was I thinking? I should have just called a travel agent. Taking a vacation. So, Yeah, I believed all that hype too, all that stuff about be all you can be, all that honor and integrity stuff, and I fell for it. I was being all I could be. Gay. And they kicked me out for it. Weird thing is that if they find out that you're gay, they'll actually throw you in prison with a bunch of other lesbians. Don't you think it is stupid that they kick gay people out of the military? I mean, if our own government is so afraid of us, don't you think our enemies are afraid of us too? General, we've gone through every single plan. We've got nothing left. We've exhausted all our resources. Time to send in the gays!
I first started doing this routine last year, back like March. And we guessed maybe we might be going to war, but we really weren't building up to it. But I started doing this routine because, again, I was told, look, there's no other comedians out there doing a routine on getting kicked out of the military. That's what you need to do. You need to do your routine on that. And at first I was like, that's not funny. That wasn't funny to me. Getting kicked out of the military wasn't funny. But they're like, look, you have to learn how to turn your tragedy into funniness. So I was like, okay, let me think this over. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, why does this happen? Like, why do they kick people out? I mean, what's the point? So I actually started doing my routine on that. And people come up to me after every single show and go, wow, I didn't know that they were still kicking gay people out of the military. Or I didn't even know that they were doing it at all. Actually, I have some gay people come up to me and say that exact same thing, that they did not know. And I'm like, well, where have you been? So it's been getting a lot of exposure, because when people see me, I always say, okay, look, this is the person, this is the type of person who gets kicked out. And I think people think it's some kind of a monster or this horrible person that's preying on the other people in the service. And we're all just average, normal, everyday people just trying to live our lives.
Can you give us your website?
Yes, because I actually do video production as well. I have a website called gayvideobiz.com, and it's just like it sounds, GAYVIDEOBIZ.com. And no, there's no porn. I don't do porn. People say, it sounds like a porn site. I'm like, yeah, but think of how many more people will come to it then. I get a lot of hits on it from that.
Vicki, thank you so much for being on our show. Can you give us that website one more time?
Sure. It's gayvideobiz.com, just like gay video and then biz, B-I-Z.com. And I'd be happy to get back to you guys.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Fensbury, Rex Walkner, John Frame, Steve Pride, and Rita Gonzalez contributed program material. Thanks also to Chris Allen. Carly Simon and the movie cast of Damn Yankees performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KUNR Reno, Nevada, WREK Atlanta, Georgia, 2BBB Bellingen, New South Wales, and more than 135 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please do stay tuned.